Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Later on the program, Bob Weinberg previews the new CD by the Bobby Rodriguez Big Band, Something Old, Something New. Chef Norman Van Aken presents A Word on Food, and our arts calendar today features Deborah Margold, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Now we welcome back to the show musician, producer, executive producer, and music industry entrepreneur, the legendary Larry Rosen, who together with the Arsht Center will present the 8th Annual Jazz Roots Concert Series and Educational Program starting November 6th at the Knight Concert Hall in Miami. Mr. Larry Rosen, welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat.
Hey, hi. Good to see you again.
Good to have you with us again, sir. And Larry, we want to talk about the effect of your magnificent record company, GRP Records. You and Dave Grusin put together an incredible record company that, for decades, I dare say, really changed the sound of jazz, introduced new musicians, and really moved America's music into the contemporary technological world. What do you think the effect has been of GRP Records on American music?
Well, I'm very happy to say that I think it's made an important introduction to these artists and to audiences around the United States and around the world, because without having people like Dave Grusin and myself take on those efforts, you know, a lot of those people will never get discovered.
And discover some great names. You certainly did, and you helped out many more names continue their careers. I'm thinking of people still in the business, like Al Jarreau. You helped out wonderful John Lucien, who was originally from where? Tortola,
right.
I think, in the British Virgin Islands.
Mm-hmm.
And Noel Pointer, David Valentine. And then you helped out already established artists like Chick Corea and the great Ramsey Lewis. You produced the wonderful PBS program with Ramsey. This is an uncommon experience in jazz promotion and production. Can you give us any thoughts about the years that you were involved with all of these great musicians?
Well, it was from starting in the mid-70s all the way up to today, basically.
Yeah.
So it's a long period of time. But, you know, technology has changed during that time period, and new young artists came along, and we had the opportunity to do both, to look at technology and how that was changing and how we could contribute to that area, and at the same time to be able to sit with those artists and meet them and give them an opportunity to be exposed. So on all levels, that's been a wonderful thing for the industry and for us.
Now, back then, did artists tend to approach you, or did you actively go out and seek these artists, or was it perhaps a combination of both to get them involved with GRP?
Well, you know, it's always a combination of both. The artists are always looking for opportunities to be exposed. And certainly if anybody like Dave and I, who look to take on music in a real big way, of course you had to find the artists at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say it was, you know, both things had to work hand in hand for it to take root like it did.
Sure. Part of your legacy is you've been an incredible music industry entrepreneur. And I seem to remember back in either the late 70s or the early 80s, you were working the new format called DAT tape. And then, of course, in the early 80s, the new format was the compact disc. Can you give us a feel for what you were experiencing when you tried to release this new format in the jazz context?
Well, you know, the compact disc, when that was launched, it was really kind of launched more in Japan than it was even in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And we traveled a lot to Japan and got a chance, an opportunity to be exposed to a lot of this technology. And as we did that, we then started utilizing that technology. So when we bring it back to the United States, where it was really slow to get launched, we had the opportunity to take this material and bring it out to people who were interested in new technology. And one of the things that was really interesting about this, the record companies themselves were not interested in this technology. They had LPs, and they had what they had as far as inventory was concerned, and they didn't want to start coming up with a whole new format. But we were so involved in it, we just stepped into it, and we had the opportunity to go into the first stores that were selling compact discs, and they needed to have material to play on their CD players, and we were there in creating this material, and one thing helped the other, and it exploded.
Sure. Not too many outlets had that early technology. I think I was the first one here at our humble radio station to bring in my own purchased CD player so that I could play CDs on the air. We were a few years behind the time technologically, but you weren't. You saw the writing on the wall. You saw the future of the audio industry.
In a certain way, we did, but you're absolutely right. You know, there were very few places where you could actually buy CDs, and certainly playing it on the air was not happening very much. You were one of the first ones to go get your own machine because nobody else had it.
But you kept us supplied among just a few other great record companies, and the artists you have worked with over the years is just astounding. Chick Corea, Diana Krall, Patty Austin, the great B.B. King, Dave Grusin, Ramsey Lewis, as we mentioned. And tell me about working with Arturo Sandoval. You got to him real early after he jumped ship off of Cuba.
Yeah, he left Cuba and came to the United States and was looking for a record deal. And I happened to meet him through a few other people, and we started talking. He wasn't even, at that point, didn't speak English at all.
Mm.
But the musicians around him all knew about this genius musician. I mean, he's just such an incredible artist. And we talked about what kind of record we would make for the first one, and Arturo was just sensational, and we went into the studio and started recording as soon as we can. And before you know it, you know, it was one album after another, after another, after another. And needless to say, his career is amazing.
So you have been the executive producer or the main producer for more than 350 recordings. That's mind-boggling. a typical ridiculous question would be, Larry Rosen, what's your favorite? Now, I know you don't have a favorite because the love of music for you is genre-wide, but you really have covered an awful lot of jazz genres from bebop to mainstream to smooth jazz. In fact, I dare say you launched the smooth jazz format in the early 80s before there were any smooth jazz stations.
I'm sure you're right, because at that time, that format was completely new, and the compact disc was really one of the elements that helped launch that format. So they kind of worked hand in hand also, and it gave opportunities to a lot of new young artists, and at the same time, that technology was then passed on to all kinds of other ways of playing that music. So it was very helpful all around, or else it would never have happened.
Larry, it's really marvelous that throughout your career you've been lauded in so many wonderful ways. You've received the Ernst & Young's Entrepreneur of the Year Award early on in new media and entertainment for your great work in, obviously, new technology. The Grammy Governor Honor Roll, you served on the Dave Brubeck Institute. Are you still with that?
It doesn't exactly exist that way after Dave passed away,
yeah.
But he was such an important artist, needless to say. His music will live on forever, so
sure.
I feel just to be part of it and the history of it has been something I just remember my whole life.
You're on the Frost School of Music here in South Florida, their steering committee, and you and Dave Grusin, your co-founder of GRP Records, on the National Foundation for Jazz Education. Jazz education, very important to you. And in our next segment with Larry Rosen, we want to talk about the Music for Youth Foundation and your work with the wonderful ARCHT Performing Arts Center to educate the kids here in South Florida about America's great music. Larry, hang on a second. We'll be right back with Mr. Larry Rosen here on South Florida Arts Beat.
Great. I'm right here.
Listening to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on the show, Bob Weinberg previews the new CD by the Bobby Rodriguez Big Band, Something Old, Something New. Chef Norman Van Aken plates up a word on food. And our Miami-Dade Arts Calendar today features Deborah Margold. Now, we return to the conversation with our legendary jazz guest. And we're back with Mr. Larry Rosen, musician, producer, executive producer, and music industry entrepreneur. Great to have you back, Larry.
Thank you so much, Ed.
We, of course, are real excited about the 8th Jazz Roots season with a world-renowned concert series and educational program. And that's where we want to start, because both you and the wonderful ARCHT Center have always been interested in educating the youth of Miami-Dade County, public school system certainly, and perhaps more, about America's music. Why is that necessary?
It's incredibly necessary because people, especially young people, have to know the history of this nation. And to know American history, it's really to know American music. Because that is the root of many of the music and stylistic elements of this country.
Now, tell me, what happens on any given event when you cooperate with the Miami-Dade County Public School System and, of course, the ARCHT Center? What actually takes place? Do you have busloads of students coming in? What's going on?
Well, you know, from the very beginning of putting on a jazz series here, I felt it was extremely important that we bring in young people. So that was one of the components of the concept right from the beginning. So young people are brought to every single show. So it could be anywhere from 200 students to more. Mm. And that is vitally important because we bring them in the early part of the day so they could start understanding and learning about the music by hearing it, hearing rehearsals that are taking place, hearing the artists speak. And a lot of times we have these young students that are already playing instruments sit down with the artists and have an opportunity to play with everybody from Wynton Marsalis to some of the, you know, the greatest people in the world. Open up those kind of doors to young people, what could be greater than that?
Sure, sure. It's really a marvelous effort, and it's great that it's a big part of every Jazz Roots series and show, I presume. So how do the kids react when a jazz musician is up on stage teaching them? Because jazz musicians are really affable people for the most part, as you know, and they give and they give. Give us a feeling as to what goes on with the kids. Do they get it?
Oh, they definitely get it. But the interesting part of it is I didn't know if they were going to get it. Because, you know, when you listen to what kids listen to today, generally speaking, as far as popular music, you would wonder how do they understand who Thelonious Monk is or these great jazz artists who created the world's greatest music. But when you see them and you see them at a rehearsal, and they get a chance to listen to the music and hear more about it, they start to understand this very, very quickly. And part of what we want to pass on to them is for them to understand that this is a history to this music, that if they're listening right now to some hip-hop music, this would never have occurred if it wasn't for Louis Armstrong and people that happened way at the beginning, way before they were born. And once they get a handle around that stuff, they get very excited about it.
Do you ever see any recognition in their eyes or their reactions that they might be able to get in on this thing called jazz?
I do. I do see that. I have kids come in and send emails, make calls, everything you could possibly imagine to get more information about this music. You know, at the beginning, I didn't know if that was going to happen that way. But they're very open. Kids are very open to music. And they'll jump in and listen to whatever is available as long as it's good. And that's what makes it so much fun.
Well, I think it's the work that you and the Arsch Center are doing in this regard certainly is just amazing. You're helping to build jazz audiences for the future and music lovers of the future, and bravo to you and the Arsht. Let's get into the 8th season of Jazz Roots.
Yep.
More info at LarryRosen.com, and of course, more information available at JazzRoots.net. So tell me about the first show, November 6th, Larry, movie music of a great filmmaker.
Well, you know, we have a great filmmaker in Spike Lee, because Spike Lee is a legend on his own, and he's attempted not only so many stylistic components to it, but he's such an innovator as far as stylistically and music that couldn't ask for more than that.
Oh, yeah. Now, performing will be the Terrence Blanchard Quintet and one of my favorite jazz vocalists, the tremendous D.D. Bridgewater,
right.
Mesa, Liz Wright, and this incredible South Florida group, the Frost School of Music's Henry Mancini Institute Orchestra. Once again, that's November 6th. The next show is a holiday show, December 4th, featuring Kenny G. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, needless to say, Kenny G is a legend all around the world. He's somebody who's taking basically the roots of jazz and made it into a pop style of his own. And his presentations of the music. And in some cases, people go, oh, Kenny G, I'm not sure he's my favorite artist. But once you go and sit and listen to him play, you get so blown away of what kind of a musician he is. It's a very special experience.
That's December 4th, the Kenny G 2015 Holiday Show. The new year brings us on January 15th, 2016, as part of the 8th annual Jazz Roots series, Salsa Summit. This is a big topic for South Florida. Eddie Palmieri's Salsa Orchestra. That spells excitement to me.
It does to me, too. I mean, Eddie Palmieri is a legend on his own. And he stylistically has taken so much about the roots of jazz as well as of Latin music and kind of melded them and put it together in a new way that is historical. So he's one of those unique guys.
That sounds like a marvelous show, particularly for South Florida. Mm-hmm. February 5th, 2016 brings us a show called Celebrating the Good Life, with the legendary Patti LaBelle. She certainly is. She's a magnificent vocalist, and she loves jazz and blues. She came up with the great music as well as gospel. Her special guest will be Ashley Smith. Tell me about both.
Well, first of all, Ashley is a new young artist who we've discovered very recently, and she is making history right now. We're talking about a recording deal with her and a number of things, because she came through some organizations that we're very much involved in. And she was just the winner of our Sarah Vaughan International Jazz Competition. So this really gives her an opportunity to step out and make a whole bunch of noise. So we're excited.
What do you think their repertoire might be?
It's going to be, in many ways, a straight-ahead genre, but these players have so much ability to do so many different things.
Yeah.
Well, you know best when you get ready to stop playing.
The eighth season of Jazz Roots, a Larry Rosen Jazz series taking place at the Adrian Arsht Center for March 11th, 2016, features the closest we can get to old Blue Eyes, his son, Frank Sinatra Jr. That'll be fun.
Well, that's going to be incredible because Frank Sinatra, needless to say, from a musical point of view, the legend goes on. And it goes all the way back to understanding the history of the music, all the way to the big bands, through everything that we could think of today about music, all the way to Lady Gaga, you know, is making noise with that kind of music. So it's interesting to see the scope of this great American music, how it lives on and on and on. And Frank Sinatra is one of those people who was responsible for this to happen from the get-go.
Do you think brother Frank Sinatra Jr. will bring up his sister with her boots on?
I have no idea.
That would be a surprise.
That would be.
For us all. There'll be one more show in the eighth season of Jazz Roots, but we can't announce it. Can you give us a little teaser, maybe?
Well, it's pretty exciting, I'll tell you that. And it's just a matter of getting all the pieces put together.
Sure.
So we could actually make the announcement, and the sooner the better.
Sure. Well, once again, it's always a thrill to speak with Larry Rosen. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day, Larry, for us. And more information, as we mentioned, at LarryRosen.com, JazzRoots.net, JazzRoots.com, and, of course, ArshtCenter.org. Larry Rosen, thank you so much for joining us today on South Florida Arts Beat.
Hey, Ed, thank you so much. And thank you for everything that you've done over the years, because you're a lover of the music and you have one of the greatest appealing to talk to people about the music, and we need more people like you to help it grow.
Well, it's my honor to have you on the show, and Larry, you be well, and we'll catch you down here when Jazz Roots takes off on November 6th.
Well, thank you. Take care.
Please keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. South Florida Arts Beat returns in just a moment.